Today's shir is Masecht Bava Metzia Daf Nun Vav, and we will begin on Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom, Masur Rav Sheshes. In the previous shir, we learned that the Mishnah taught us that if someone eats Trumas Meiser of the Mai, which we know the Isser to eat the Mai is only an Isser the Rabbanon, the halach is he has to be meisiv v'chaimish, he has to pay a keren v'chaimish, just like he had eaten trumas meiser d'oraisa. And the Gemara asked, Rabbi Lazar asked, whose opinion does that represent that he treats the d'oraisa like he treats the rabbanon? The Gemara said it represents the opinion of Rav Meir, who has this strict approach, like we find the Gemara says that. We know the first Mishnah, the Masech, the Gittin, teaches us that if somebody, if a shliach brings a get from overseas, he has to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. And Rameyah says that if a shliach fails to say b'fanei nechtam, and a woman gets married based on that get, the marriage is not a marriage, and the children would be mamzerim. So we see Rameyah has a very strict position on somebody who violates a drabonin. Ask the Gemara, Masur of Sheshes, it says in a Mishnah Masecht de Mai, Mechalonai say Kesef al Kesef. The halacha, as we have been discussing, is that we can redeem Maisa Sheni. Discusses the Mishnah, what would be the din if somebody redeemed already Maisa Sheni in a silver coin? Can he take another silver coin to transfer from one silver coin to another silver coin? Says the Mishnah, as far as the Mai is concerned, one may do so. There are Rishayim that explain that Mishnah, that even though typically transferring from one type of coin to an identical type of coin is not considered a pidyon, is not considered redemption, since both of these coins are identical, the Mishnah is teaching us that by the Mai, it's acceptable. However, the Ravid's opinion is that if the two coins are identical, even by the Mai, it would not be acceptable. Because two identical coins do not at all represent an act of chilul. And therefore, says the Ravid, the Pshat in the Mishnah should be understood as follows. That normally, you can't be mechalul on two different type of silver coins. Because since both of the coins are silver, even though they're different type of coins, their similarity is too great that you should be allowed to do such a chilul. By the Mai, the Mishnah is lenient if the two coins are different, but even though they're both silver, it's acceptable. Similarly, nechoshes al nechoshes, by two copper coins. Kesef al nechoshes, so too could somebody redeem silver coin or copper coins, even though one would normally not be allowed to redeem silver and copper, because copper, the whole reason one may redeem is because it should be easier to take the product, to take the item to Yerushalayim, and that's why the Torah says you can redeem the produce, because it's difficult to schlep all the produce to Yerushalayim. So it's redeeming silver on copper, which will cause you to have to carry more coins, normally would not be permissible. By the Mai, the Mishnah allows us to redeem Kesef al Nechoshes and Nechoshes al Aperis. And furthermore, you could even redeem copper coins on produce, which is certainly, so to speak, going backwards, because now you're going to have Peris again that you're going to have to carry to Yerushalayim. However, and this is the way Rashi explains the Mishnah, V'yachsav yiftes aperis. Even though Ramey is allowing us to redeem the copper coins on Paris, still, we don't want, that was something that was only allowed temporarily. But to have to, since you had coins already, and now you want to transfer it on Paris, and Paris are much harder to carry to Yerushalayim, before you go to Yerushalayim, you're going to have to redeem them back onto coins to carry coins which are easier to carry versus carrying the fruit itself. So according to Rashi's explanation of Ramey's opinion, when the Mishnah says v'yachs v'yiftes aperis, you're obligated to v'yachs v'yiftes aperis. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, and Tosfos says according to Ramey, And the Mishnah is giving you the option. Either, now that you did Nechoshes al Paris, you have a right either to take the Paris if you want, or if you want, you can redeem them back onto coins and take up the coins. The Chachamim, Yahweh Paris for Yerchel Rishulayim, according to the Chachamim, according to Rashi's Pshat, is that you could take the Paris, you don't have to redeem them back onto coins. Tosfos, in his explanation of the Chachamim, says the Chachamim hold that's not just that Yahweh Paris for Yerchel, you don't have to go through the process of redemption again. According to Tosfos' explanation of Chachamim, you must take the Paris and you may not go through a redemption process anymore. But we will learn the Gemara like Rashi explains the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, Umi mechalalin in kesef on the chayshis, is it acceptable to redeem silver coins on copper coins? But Tanan, there's a Mishnah in Masech the Maisi Sheni that speaks about the following situation. Selosh al-Maisi Sheni fishal cholun shenis arvu. One started with Maisi Sheni produce, and his Maisi Sheni produce he redeemed on a silver coin. That silver coin now has the status of Maisi Sheni, and that silver coin got mixed up with another silver coin, which is Chulin. So we don't know which coin is the Maisi Sheni coin and which is the non-Maisi Sheni coin. So what he should do, says the Mishnah, is maybe b'selamos, bring a seller worth of copper, v'oimer, kamakim shiesh neselosh ha-Maisi Sheni, whichever coin is the Maisi Sheni coin, mucholalois amos halalu, should be redeemed with these copper coins. And we assume from the two silver coins, we treat, as we always do, Meiser, we always go to the benefit of the Meiser, we assume that the better coin, we have to assume, is the Meiser coin. And redeem that silver coin on these copper coins. Mimnesh Amru explains the Mishnah, because Chazal taught us, Mechalon Isai Kesef al Nechoshes Midoichik, to redeem silver on copper is acceptable in a doichik situation, in a b'dievin, in a pressing situation, such as we have now, where we have these two silver coins with no option. Loishik, however, as explains the Mishnah, explained the Mepharshim, silver on copper is acceptable in a difficult situation. Silver on silver is never acceptable, and therefore we have no choice but to go through this process. However, continues the Mishnah, that after we went through the process of taking the silver and redeeming it on a copper, we shouldn't leave it this way. We then go take these copper coins and redeem them again on a silver coin, because we don't want that the Miser should be left with a copper coin. We want it to be left with a silver coin, because copper coins are more difficult to work with the silver coins for two reasons. First of all, it involves, as we said earlier, a harder job. You have to carry those coins, which are heavier, to Yerushalayim. And number two, it represents that the copper coins rust, and we don't want to have to... silver coins, however, don't rust. And again, we're concerned about the welfare of the Maaser Sheni, and therefore we redeem it back onto copper, onto silver coins. However, what's relevant to us, Ketanimius, what did the Mishnah say in Masechta Maaser Sheni? The Mechalalam Bedoichik. Only in a situation like this, where we have no choice, can we redeem the silver coin on the copper coin. But normally, this would not be acceptable. Midoichik in. Only in this situation, where we have no choice. Shloi midoichik, were it not such a situation, loy, it would not be acceptable. Where you cannot redeem silver on copper. Yet, the Mishnah we began the shiur with today, quoting the Mishnah Masechta Demai, says that silver on copper is mutar l'chatchila. So why do we see that we don't treat silver on copper the same way we treat by Maaser Sheni as we do by Demai? By Demai, we're lenient and it can be redeemed l'chatchila. and by Maaser Sheni, it's only b'di'evit. So how can you say, ask the Gemara, that Reb Meir's opinion is that we treat the Rabbon and the Maaser Sheni the same way we treat regular Maaser Sheni, the Raisa and the Maaser Sheni? Here clearly these two Mishnayos show us that we don't treat the two types of situations in the same way. Actually, the Rishonim point out, the Gemara could have asked another question. The Gemara could have asked that here it's by Demai, the Mishnah we quoted in Masechta Demai says that we could be Mechalol Kesef Al Kesef. And here it says by Masechta Maaser Sheni, we can't be Mechalol Kesef Al Kesef. That could have been the Gemara's question. And in fact, the Rishonim say the reason the Gemara didn't ask that question because the Gemara preferred to ask the question from Kesef al Nechoshes, because that is the exact situation that the Mishnayos speak about, so it's a much stronger question. But indeed, the Gemara could have asked the same question, differentiating between Kesef al Kesef by Maaser Sheni versus by Demai. Although, others explain, if we go back and refer to the Ravid that we began our shiur with today, that the Ravid says that the difference between, when we speak about Kesef al Kesef and Masechta Demai, it doesn't mean two similar silver coins, for that even would not be permitted by Demai, because two identical coins is not even in the category of Chilul at all. Rather, says the Ravid, as we said, that Kesef al Kesef means two different types of coin, and it could be that would be mutter by Maaser Sheni. So that's why the Gemara specified and asking its question regarding Kesef al Nechoshes, that we see that the Mai and Maaser Sheni are not treated in the same way. Yet our Gemara began that they are treated in the same, that the Ramei treats the Rabbanon and the Raisis in the same way. Rabbi Yosef answers, even though we clearly see that Rameyer is more lenient when it comes to the redemption of the Mai, Machmo Bechilosoi, he certainly treats the eating of the Mai similarly to the way he treats the eating of Maaser Sheni. And as Mefarshim explained, when it comes to eating, we have a real concern that one can be over a deraisa. Because if the Amoritz did not, as he was supposed to, take off the Trumas and Maisris, we have a situation of Tevel, which, as we will learn, eating Tevel, Rachman al Tzlan, is a question of a Chiv of Misa B'day Shemayim. Whereas, when it comes to pigeon, so we certainly have the Maaser Sheni separated. And since we certainly have the Maaser Sheni separated, we don't have a concern of a deraisa. The entire of a tevel, of a misa b'day shemayim. Its only question was, it properly redeemed? Is the right thing going to be taken up to Yerushalayim, which is much less of a serious situation? And that's why Ramei could be, even Ramei who treats the deraisa, who treats the rabbonons so strictly, could be a little more lenient here. And the Gemara supports this distinction between achila and pigeon. The Tanya, Leitira Limcha Dmai, El Lasitim Bilvad. Chazal allowed a wholesaler to sell the Mai produce. The reason Chazal were more lenient with a wholesaler is because people who buy food from wholesalers know that these wholesalers buy their product from many farmers, and certainly not all the farmers are necessarily careful and taking off Trumas and Maaseres. So when somebody buys produce from such an individual, he takes off his own Trumas and Maaseres. He doesn't expect the wholesaler to take it off. That's one pshat. Another pshat, which I think the Yerushalmi quotes, is that since the wholesalers work on very low margins, Chazal did not require that they also separate the Mai, which would cut in to their minimal profit. Tosfos quotes two opinions, that when we're being lenient here and allowing purchasing from a wholesaler the Mai produce, is it that we're only lenient to allow a Talmud Chacham, a chaver, to buy from such a wholesaler, or even lenient to allow that a wholesaler could sell tamaratzim the my produce. Or balabayis, however, a balabayis ben kach tzarech laser. If he's selling, he's not a wholesaler, retailer, always has to take off his own ma'isa. Divrei Rameya. This is Rameya's opinion. V'chamayimrim echeres sitoim v'echad balabayis. It makes no difference if it's a wholesaler or a retailer. Ma'achav v'shaleach, he could sell, or he could send a gift to his chaver, or nois l'matana, he could give a gift. V'enechoshish, in all these situations, he could sell the mai, or give away the mai. So we see that Rameyer is indeed the Tana that treats the mai more seriously, consistent with our explanation of Rameyer's opinion regarding the Rabbonins. Ask the Gemara in this answer, Masav Ravina, it says in a Mishnah in Masechta Demai, Halakeich Menam Nachtum, if somebody buys bread from a baker who's an Amoritz, the Aloch is Maisim and Chamalotzenenis. He could take meiser from the fresh bread, the warm bread, on the older bread, menatzenenes alachama, v'afil metfusim harbei, even though it comes from different molds, divremeya. This is Rameya's opinion. And of course the concern here, as we learn, is when we're referring to the situation of a baker who may have numerous suppliers, we have to be concerned that he buys from numerous suppliers who may be amaratzim. But when we speak about amaratzim, as we've been saying, it's not for certain that the amaoritz doesn't take off trumas amaisris. It's a concern that Chazal had. And therefore, if we're going to have somebody who buys from numerous suppliers, and one person takes meiser from one of the product for all of the product that he purchased, he may be taking menapator al achiv or menachiv al pator, which, as we're going to learn in a minute, is unacceptable. Yet, says Rameyer, when somebody buys bread from a baker, which clearly there's a real reason to be concerned that the breads come from different suppliers, it's old bread versus new bread, different types of bread, you don't have to be concerned, and you can take from one bread for all the breads that you bought. So now the Gemara digresses for a moment. Bishlam and Tzenenes Alachama, when you're taking Meiser from the old bread on the new bread, besides of the concern that we just articulated, there's another concern. There's a concern that you're taking Minara Alayofa, from poor quality product on good quality product, which we know, the opinion of Rabbi Loi, that, says the Gemara, is not a concern. For we're following the opinion of Rabbi Loi, Dom Rabbi Loi, Menayin L'tayr Menayiro Alayofa, how do we know that if somebody, Bidi Evid, took Meiser in such a way, from poor quality and good quality, that what he did is acceptable? Shetrumasa Truma, Shenamar V'loisisolov Chet, Barimchem Eschel B'memenu. You won't get an Aveir for doing it. Explains Rabbi Loi. Imein a kaddish, if what he did was totally invalid, neschi is chet lama. Why would he get an aveira? It must be mikan l'tayr min ha'ra l'yofa, that if somebody did such a thing, although he didn't do the right thing, you're not supposed to be mitayrim min ha'ra l'yofa shetruma satruma. And therefore, the concern of ra l'yofa is not a concern. Taisus and the other rishonim ask that we have quoted many times the opinion of Rava, a Masechta Temura, that says, "Kam milsa d'om rachmana le'savid, i'ovid loy mahani." That Torah says, if Torah tells us not to do something, if you did it, what you did, your act remains meaningless. So, if so, ask Taisus, according to Rava's opinion, the Torah speaks about many aveiros. But if, according to Rava, what you did doesn't have any validity anyway, because kam milsa d'om rachmana le'savid, i'ovid Loi Mahani, then we have a question. Here, how does Rabbi Loi say that the Pasuk is teaching us that what you did is acceptable? It's no different than any other Aveira in the Torah, where the Torah mentions the Aveira, and the Aveira remains an Aveira, even though we have a rule of Kol Milsa D'Amar Rachmana Loi Savid, Yavid Loi Mahani. So Taisus answers, the Torah already teaches us Barimchem Eschelboy Memenu. The one is obligated to take off min ha-yof al-toiv, not min ha-toiv al-raw. Why does the Torah have to repeat the Torah? Because the Torah says kochel v'yitzur, kochel v'tirish. You always have to take off the best. Why did the Torah have to repeat the dim lo system olav chayt barimchem schal b'menu to teach us you have to take off from the bread and produce, to teach us that here, even if we normally hold kamil stomer rachman alay savri ovid loy ma'ani, here it would be effective. Another teretz, the Tosfos HaRosh says, is by the Torah using the word barimchem. The word barimchem means that it does become truma. If it does become truma, it must be the Torah teaching us that it does become truma. Rav Chaim answers, because when somebody takes minaroa la yofa, the problem is, what is the problem if you take minaroa la yofa? Take again and take minayofa la raw. Because the halacha is that you can't take truma meiser twice. Once you've done it, it's done. Now, if the halacha would be that what he was doing was meaningless, why would there be an aveira? Just correct what you did by taking truma meiser again. The Torah, by telling us to take that, what the Torah by not allowing you to do it, is clearly teaching us that what you did is effective, even though you didn't do the right thing. So the issue of tzoynenes alachama minaroa alayofa has been resolved, because as we just learned, that is b'di'evet acceptable. The issue, however, says the Gemara, is mitfilsim harbe. When you're buying different molds, different pans, the concern should be leichestim osla frush minachiv alaptor. Maybe these different breads represent different suppliers, and we're going to be taking from one supplier who actually did take off meiser to another supplier who didn't, or vice versa. It's going to be a situation in a chiv al ptor or an ptor al chiv. The fact that Rameyer is not concerned with this seems to be an indication that because we're talking about the mai, Rameyer is lenient with the mai, which is a drabonin. So now we're totally, so to speak, confused. We began the shir just quickly to review. Going back to actually yesterday's shir. We said Rameh's opinion is that the Rabbanans are to be treated like the Araisa. We asked the question when we saw the Mishnayis and Masechta Demai Sesheni don't treat them the same way. We answered there's a difference between Achila and Pidyon. And we even brought a Mishnah to back up that distinction. But now we're talking about Achila again and we're treating them the same way. Amar Rabbi Abaye. So Abaye goes back to the beginning of the sugya. And he says, Rabbi Elazar Shapka Kashalei. The question Rabbi Elazar asked in our Mishnah, where Ramei says that even Trumas Meiser of Demai, if you eat it, you have to pay a Karen V'chaymish, who treats Demai, which is a Drabonin, so seriously, is an excellent question. However, comments Abaya Shmuel, who answered that it represents the opinion of Rameya, Loi Shapa Kamashanale, did not give a good question, a good answer. Why? The Kashlei Rabbi Elazar Misav De Shemayim. Rabbi Elazar asked a question regarding the Mai of Trumas Meiser. Trumas Meiser, the Issa to eat Trumas Meiser, is a Chiv Misav De Shemayim. Where did Shmuel answer him from? He answered him from a question of a get. Umashana le Shmuel regarding Mis Bezdin. Says the Gemara, the answer is inadequate. Because Dil Mashani Mis Bezdin, the Chamira. Maybe get Rameir is stricter, because we're referring to an Ashes Ish, which is a question of Mis Bezdin. But not, he will not necessarily be strict regarding Trumas Maisa. Rav Sheshis, and Rav Sheshis' question that we began today's year with, that he was asking a question from the redemption of Demai, certainly Lav Shapa Kamosavloi, is not a good question. The Kamri Inu, Rishmul and Rabbi Elazar were referring to situations of Misa, albeit one is a Misa B'day Shemayim, and one is a situation of Misa B'dezdin. Or Moshe Rosheshus, and Rosheshus asks a question regarding an issue which is only in Issalav. Because the Ksiv, Lesucha Lechel B'Sherecha, the Isser of eating something that wasn't properly redeemed, is only in Issalav. So how could we treat them and ask that a mayor should treat them all in the same fashion? However, says the Gemara, Ulamai de Moser of Sheshus, when Rav Sheshus asked this question, certainly they wanted to ask, how do we treat the redemption of the Mai differently according to Rameya than the redemption of Maisa Sheni? Rav Yosef's answer, Shapaka Maisa, was a good answer. He said that we don't, Rameya was referring to Achila, not to pigeon. Ela Ravina. But now ask the Gemara. Ravina asked the question on Rav Yosef. The Rav Yosef says that Rameya certainly treats the Achila of the Mai strictly. And he asked the question from the Nachtoim that we just quoted, the baker, that you could take from the different breads, Meiser, from the Mai, of the different breads that you bought from this Nachtoim, instead of asking a question from the Nachtoim, L'sai Lemi Palter, why doesn't he bring a Raya from what we learn regarding a Palter, that's the wholesale bread distributor, which will clearly support this understanding of Rameya, the Tanan. And the Mishnah says, Halakeach minam palter, if somebody buys from a palter, daloch is meiser, mikol tfus for tfus, he has to take meiser from every tfus separately. Divrei Rameyer. Why do you have to take meiser from each tfus separately? Because even though we're referring to a situation of the Mai, when it comes to chas v'shalom achilas the Mai, Rameyer is very strict. So we see that Rameyer does treat the Rabbonims in a strict fashion, Ela Mayis L'chlamemer. But now we have a contradiction in Rameya's opinion. He's lenient by a Nachtoim, and he's strict by a Palter. How do we reconcile these two rulings? Palter, says the Gemara, Mitrei Tlas Gavrizovin, buys from the Palter buys from many suppliers, and since he buys from many suppliers, we have to be concerned that he's going to be that one supplier did take off Trumas Maisis properly and one did not, and we have a situation in Aptor al Achiv, Menachiv al Aptor. Nachtem Nami Mechad Gavra Hazafin. He buys from a single person, and since he buys only from an individual person, you could be sure that everything he has is from one person, and you don't have to be worried about a p'tor al-chiv, min a-chiv al-p'tor. Ask the Mefarshim, if now we're learning that whenever you buy from a person who has numerous suppliers, we have this concern min a-p'tor al-chiv. So we go back, we learned the Mishnah earlier, that if somebody buys the mai from a sitaim, from a produce wholesaler, he doesn't have to. The sitoin does not have to even though he's a chaver and he only wants to sell something which is 100% permissible, he doesn't have to take off trumas and maisus of the mai. But why? He buys from numerous suppliers. So I saw two answers. One answer is that everybody knows that a baker and a wholesaler of produce are not to be treated in the same way, and that a wholesaler of produce keeps the produce that he buys from different suppliers separate, and therefore we won't end up with a situation of menachiv al p'tor, menachiv al achiv. The baker, however, puts everything out on his showcase and mixes all the different breads together, and therefore he can't keep it separate. That's one teretz. Another teretz is that there's a difference when you're buying produce and they become perfectly intermingled. We're dealing with grains. Since they become one entity, then there's no concern of a p'tor al-chiyiv. The loaves of bread, however, remain individual loaves, and that's why we have a concern of a p'tor al-chiyiv, and that's why Rameya says if you buy from somebody who has numerous suppliers, you can't take off from one type for another type. Rav Amma, Shmuel Kashapim Shanalei. Rav goes back to what Abaye said. And Abaye was dissatisfied with the question, with the answer Shmuel gave to Rabbi Elazar's question. The Rabbi Elazar asked, who's the Tana of our Mishnah takes such a strong attitude to the Rabbanans? And Shmuel identified it to be Rameyer, who was strict regarding Gittin. Asked Abaya, how could you compare Gittin, which is a subject of Mises Besdin, to Trumas Meiser, which is an issue that involves Misa B'day Shemayim, says Rava, Shmuel's answer that he does compare these two situations is very understandable. Because Shem Misa B'Olam, although this is Misa Bezdin, and this is Misa B'day Shemayim, it's all Misa, and therefore they could be compared. Says the Mishnah, El Dvarim She'en Lahem Menoah, in the following situations, there is no din of Einor. Havodim, if one buys Avodim, there's a machloikis. Certainly we're referring to Avodim Knanim, as our Gemara is going to teach us, because Avodim are compared to Karka, and Karka, we're going to learn in a second, there's no Chiyav Einor, so the same goes by Avodim. Others say that Avodim are even Eved Ivri. That's the opinion of the Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi says that Avodim, since it's impossible to really identify the value, so the same would be by Eved Ivri. Vashtoris, if I sell a receivable, there's Einor on the receivable. Varkakos, and the halacha is if somebody sells Karka, the halacha is there is no Einor by Karka. Vagdashis, and the same by Hegdash. The Ritva points out that even though, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, Avodim Vishtaris are only learned from a drasha, and Karka is explicit, says the Ritva, the Mishnah mentions Avodim first, because Avodim we learn from a drasha, and we have a rule throughout Shas that that the Mishnah likes to mention first something that was mentioned by a drasha. The question is that should have been Avodim next to Karka, because as we're going to learn in the Gemara, the din of Avodim is learned from Karka, so since the din of Avodim is learned from Karka, they ought to be juxtaposed next to each other. Furthermore, when we speak about Karka not being subject to Einor, so as I said, we're going to learn in the Gemara soon, that's a pasuk that teaches this. However, the Rishonim also offer some svara why there is no Einor by Karka. They suggest that Karka is many times, real estate is many times bought for an investment. When you buy an investment, sometimes you're prepared to pay more than it's worth with the hope and understanding that the value will go up. Or another pshat that I saw is that when I buy an item, every item is ultimately going to go up in value. The only thing is, it may not be here by the time it's ready to go up in value. Everything else, most things don't last forever. Real estate is here forever. So it's ultimately going to go up, and it will still be here when the price goes up, and therefore, there is no Einor. So in all these things, Ein Lahem Teshlumi Kefil, V'loy Teshlumi Abav V'Chamisha. As we learned, the Torah teaches us that if somebody steals a Shor V'Seh, and he shechts or sells that Shor V'Seh, his Chayiv Dal V'Hei, there is no Chayiv Dal V'Hei if somebody, let's say, took a Shor V'Seh of Hegdish. Shai Mechinam Ein Nishba, if somebody is a Shai Mechinam, he would not have to say, he would not have to swear on these items, and a nice socher would not have to pay. The halacha is a nice socher is held to a higher standard, and he has to pay. A shem socher has to pay for gneva aveda. This doesn't apply by these items. There is a machlokes rishonim when the Mishnah says that shem mechinim ainu nishba. What does that mean? Because we know that if somebody asks a shem mechinim to watch something for him, and then when I come back to Shai Mechinim to pick up my item, he says I don't have it, he has to make three shvuas. He has to make a shvuas shloi poshati ba, shloi shalachti ba yad, that I didn't misappropriate it, v'sheinu b'shusa, it's no longer in my possession. So when our Mishnah says that a Shai Mechinim doesn't have to make a shvuah regarding which shvuah was that said, some Rishonim say that it's regarding all the shvuas. Our Mishnah says Shai Mechinim Ein Nishba. That's the Ran's opinion. The Rashba, however, says that Shvua She'ena B'Shusoy and Shvua She'ena Shloich B'Yad is a Shvua D'Rabbanan, and the only thing he's exempt from is a Shvua D'Raisa, not a Shvua D'Rabbanan. Rav Shimon Omer. Continue the Mishnah. Rav Shimon says, "Kachim shuchai b'kriyasam, yesh l'mayna." We know there are two ways to be magdi something. You could say harei zu, where you designate a specific item, or you could say harei alai, you take responsibility in yourself. The difference between harei zu and harei alai is that if somebody says harei alai, even if I already designated something to fulfill my obligation, and then something happens to that item, I have to replace it. Whereas if somebody says harei zu, he doesn't have to replace it. So says Rav Shimon, that if you said harei alai, and you designated an item, then something happens to that item, you will have to replace it. So it is in the category of a dover hagarim mammon. It'll cost you a financial responsibility. And Rav Shimon's opinion throughout Shas is dover hagarim mammon is treated like mammon, and therefore yesh lemaynor. However, it's a chai b'chriyusin, so you don't have any financial exposure, ein lemaynor. Hudaimer, Afa Michael Sevatara Behemo Magolius, if somebody says a Sevatara Behemo or a jewel, Ain Lamayna, there is no din of Aina. Amrulai, the Chacham disagree, and the Gemara is going to explain the basis for Rabbi Huda's position, and the Rana disagree, and they said, Layamrulai Elu, only the list items that were listed at the beginning of the Mishnah are excluded, nothing else. The Mefarshim discuss, what would be the halacha regarding an esrig? If somebody sells an esrig, the question that came up was, in Europe, there weren't many esrigim, and one year there was particularly a shortage of esrigim, and there was an esrig that came to a community, but the meicher esrigim wanted an exorbitant price. Is there aina? And mefarshim seem to say that there is no aina, because on something that doesn't have a fixed price, so many Paiskim can say there is no aina, and certainly the rules of supply and demand are also applied in the halachas of aina. So the Mara says, the Mara gave a list of a number of items at the beginning, the Mishnah gave us a list of a number of items that don't have aina. Ask the Gemara Menon immediately, the Tana Rabbanan, v'chisimchur mimka l'misecha, aikana miyada misecha. Dover hanikna miyad liyad. Aina is only possible something that can be passed from one hand to another. Yotzukakos, which comes to exclude karka, shedimetatlin, that cannot be taken from one hand to another. So the Rishonim debate, our Mishnah, our Gemara is now teaching us that there is no aina by karka. How do we understand that? Doesn't mean that the hilchos aina don't apply, and you're not over an aveira. Many Rishonim, however, of the opinion that certainly you are over an aveira. The only thing is, you don't have the halachas that we've been learning about and don't apply. And a raya is because the pasuk that speaks about v'chisimka memcha l'mesecha also refers to karka. Because the pasuk goes on to say there, speak about karka. And therefore you see that certainly aina, the aveira applies even by karka, just the specific dinim don't apply by karka. I saw a number of interesting questions regarding this exclusion, exemption that we say regarding a north karka. What would be the halacha, say the Paiskim? I became aware that in a certain location, the price of real estate is going to go up very significantly. Because I know that there's a building or something else happening in that location that will cause all the other real estate there to go up. However, somebody who currently owns real estate in this neighborhood is not aware of this coming event. So I go and I buy property from this individual because I have this knowledge and he doesn't. Were he to know about this, he certainly wouldn't sell it to me at the price that I'm paying. Is there aina or not? So the price can say, certainly if it's a situation where the seller is looking to sell the property anyway, there is no aina. But let's say he wasn't looking to sell the property. It's only because I made him an offer. Even though it's karka, it's not the karka that's causing the aina, it's the knowledge, and there may be aina. Similarly, an interesting question that came up, if somebody owned a restaurant that wasn't doing well, but he wanted to sell it, so what he did, certainly it's not right what he did, is that he used to invite people to eat in the restaurant for free, so the restaurant should always look busy. So then when people came in, so when the prospective customers came in, they saw a full restaurant and they thought they were buying a great deal, but it was really a fraud. Is there a noah? Because it's a restaurant, it's karka. So Paiskim say it's certainly a situation of a noah, because it's not the karka that's being where the fraud is over. It's over the restaurant. It's over the knowledge, and that may be a noah. Yotz avodim. Furthermore, avodim are exempt from the halachos of a noah. Shehuk shelok hakos. Yotz shtoris. Somebody sells shtoris at over its price. Also, there's a noah d'ksiv. When the item has intrinsic value, yotz shtaris, a shtar doesn't have intrinsic value. Shein gufik mocher, vein gufik kani. You're not buying the actual piece of paper. What you're buying is what it represents, that somebody else owes somebody else money. Vein amdim ela raish vehen. Mikan amru hamoich shtaros lebasam. But let's say you sold it to be a wrapper. So there you are buying it for a piece of paper, yesh lemenor. Then there would be subject to no, because it's not just buying it because it represents a loan. Ask the Mapshita, if you're buying it as paper, there's a no. Answers the Gemara, the Chiddush is to teach us that we don't follow the opinion of Kahana, the Fukumet of Kahana, that we learned yesterday, that he held ain't an all a prutus. When something is only a pruta, there is value, or the no is only a pruta, there is no a no. Mashmalan, that we have a no even by something as inexpensive as a piece of paper. The Rishonim prove from this Gemara, there's a question, can one sell shtar? Is Mechira Shtaris valid midaraisa? And seems from here that we have a raya, the Mechira Shtaris are the raisa, because the Torah is teaching us that when you sell a shtar, there is no a no. If Mechir Shtaris weren't valid midaraisa, how could you have a no? Others say that they come up with solutions why this shouldn't be a question. Hegdeshis amakra achiv, achiv v'loy hegdesh. It's only by achiv that there's a din of a no, not by hegdesh. The Shas Chuvash Vis Yaakov says that just like the pasuk we're learning achiv v'loy hegdesh, so too would there be no a no by its sibur. Because they're also not, it's achiv only by an individual. The Gemara asks, we learn from the word yad that karka is exempt from a no because it can't be transferred from hand to hand. Ask the Gemara, muskulav rav abba bamamo, kalaychad ksiv yad. Is this true that wherever the Torah uses the word yad, yad mamishu, el me'ata? The ksiv yikach is kol artsim miyadai. Sichon took the prop land from Mayav. Because there the Torah says, Klal Yisrael, that they can't wage battle with Mayav, but these lands that were taken from Mayav and were now in the possession of the Yadoy of Sichai, you can take. Hachanami the Kol Arab Yadav Nakalai was Sichai holding the land in his hand. Elam Rishusai. Yad doesn't mean literally Yad, it means his possession. Hachanami Rishusai. So why are we saying that Yad is exempt? That land is exempt because it says Yodai. Says the Gemara, the Kol Hechad Ksiv Yodai, Lav Yodai Mamshu. Certainly, when the Torah uses the word Yad, it means Yad Mamsh. Because Vatanya, the pasuk says, "In Matzei to Matzei B'Yodai." It's referring to a ganif. Only Eli Yodai. Gagai Chatzeri V'Kafei Fei Menayim. Where do I know that if the ganif didn't actually have it in his hand, but he caused? Says the Ktsois, that it should go into his property, is considered a ganif. So we see the Torah by adding the words himatzik to matzai, says if I only had the word yadai, it would mean literally in his hand. And that's why we have to add the word himatzik to matzai. Tam the kasrachmani himatzik to matzai. Halav achir, have a mina kalech the ksiv yadai, yadai mamishu. Besu tanya, another raya. The pasuk says regarding a husband giving a wife a get. Torah uses the words v'nasim b'yadai. Only al yadai. Only we know if the get was put into our hand. Gag v'chatzer v'kafifa minayim. That is also valid for the delivery of a get. Tamalayim v'nasim kamakim. So again points the Gemara out. Tam the kasa rachmar v'nasim. It's only because the Torah used the word v'nasim. Halav hachi. Have a mina kalech the ksiv yadai. It means yadai mamish. Al kol yadai always means yadai mamishu. And only there by the pasuk v'sichayin v'shani hasan delakla me'machi, where the pasuk can't be explained that way, there we say means rishusayin. By Reb Zera, Schiris, if you rent something, yesh lamayna or ein lamayna. And there are many opinions by the Rishonim, what type of schiris are we referring to? Some say we're referring to schiris of metaltlin, that we want to say that just like by the purchase of metaltlin, so too should be the din by the rental of metaltlin. And some say that the Gemara's question is even by schiris karka. Do we say memka merachmana, that sits specifically in a situation of a sale, avloy schiris, adama loishna, and schiris is treated the same way as a memker? Amalei baya, miksiv memker oilam. Does the Torah, when it speaks about a sale, speak about a permanent sale? Mimchas tamiksiv. V'hainami b'yayim mechiru. A rental is a temporary sale. Bar Rava, ask Rava. Chitin. If somebody bought chitin v'zorim b'karka ma'u, and he planted them in the ground, so are they treated like karka or not? Yesh lemenor and lemenor, and explains the Gemara. Do we say commander shadi v'kam damin? This grain is like put into a container, and therefore they're still subject to a no. A dimma, but lin al gav karka, they become part of the ground, and therefore they have to treat, they're treated like karka, and karka, we just learned, is not subject to a no. Ask the Gemara. Hey chidami, exactly what is the situation we're referring to here? Ilaymi da ami iu shadi beshita. Where the seller told the buyer, I put in 6 soft seeds into the ground. And there are witnesses that he only put in 5. V'amar Rava, that's not a question. Because Rava teaches us, anything that there was a specific amount identified, there the halacha is that no matter what the item is, the halacha is they're subject to a law. I feel even if it's less than a sixth, that as we began these sugyas, we learned that by less than a sixth, there's automatic mechila. Here, Chayzer, the deal is completely, you could completely back out of the deal. Elo, the situation is as follows. Dama iyu, the seller said, I put in enough seed that the field needs. And that's you, how you're buying the field. And he didn't really. And now the question is, yesh lemenor, ein lemenor. Are they subject to ein-lemenor or not? Because again, the Gemara repeats. Do we look at it, commander shadu b'kada damya, as if these seeds are in a container, and they still remain metatlin, v'yesh lemenor? Adim batlin agav arga, they become part of the ground, and karka is not subject to ein-lemenor. Similarly, there's going to be another question. Nishbon aleim, or ein nishbon aleim? The halach is on karka, there's no shvua, a moida b'mixis. That's how Rashi explains. Now, do we look at these seeds? Commander shadim b'kadya damyi nishban aleim. They would be subject to a situation of moida b'mixis. Oidim avetlin agav ara bein nishban aleim. There's no shvu moida b'mixis on karka. Another question. Oyim matiran. We know that all new produce cannot be eaten until the oimer was brought. Well, now we don't have the oimer on the second day of Pesach. And anything planted after Pesach, you have to wait for next year. So the question is, I'm a matiran or a matiran? Ask the Gemara, let's try to understand this question. Hech tami, ida ashrish, if these seeds took root, tanina. We already learned in the Mishnah what the halacha will be. Ida loy ashrish, and if they didn't take root, also tanina we learned in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, the tanan, Mishnah Masechta Menachos, im shrishu kaidim leimer, if the grain seeds took root before Pesach, I'm a matiran. The carbon oimer brought on Pesach will make them permissible that there won't be an isser of chadash. Vimlav, asurim ach yavar oimer abo. Says the Gemara, the situation is as follows. Loi tricha. Dechetzdinu vizarinu kaidim leimer. It's referring to a situation where somebody harvested grain and then planted it before the oimer. And now the Omer, second day of Pesach passes. And they did not take root before that day. Will you be allowed to eat from them? Do we say, command the Shajim B'Kadji Dami, that to be looked like they're in a container, Vishrinu Omer, and Omer are is going to be matter them. Adam betlinagav ar, they're considered part of the ground for which this seed there was no new oimer. As Rashi explains, the Torah says that the oimer permits us to eat grain that was harvested. Here, it was these grains were harvested before Pesach. But the question is, if when they're replanted, are they still considered in the category of something that was harvested and is therefore going to be mutter? Or once they're replanted, they lose that category, and since they didn't take root before Pesach, they will be considered chadosh, and you'll have to wait for next year Pesach. And the Gemara says, taiku to these questions.